All right, good morning to you again. I'll get this thing set right. You can open your Bibles back to Jeremiah chapter 2. We were there last week, and I really didn't get a chance to finish. I had to kind of go through here kind of quick. And I don't know about you, but in the light of all that's going on in the world, I think I mentioned something last week about how disgusting all of us got to be to God. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm disgusted with it myself. And so when you look into the world and everything that's going on today, I mean, it sickens me. And I can't help but to think to myself how God must see everything that's going on in his perfectness. And, we're wretched. I mean, you know, the Bible tells us that the best that we have to offer is filthy rags. That's our very best. And if it bothers us and it's sickening to us, can you only imagine how God must feel? So, you know, with that being said, I honestly believe that we're living in the end times, and that's why last week we was going from Jeremiah to Revelations. And what I basically wanted to do, I was trying to show you that how in the Old Testament, you know, we read through here and we can see how the people had turned their back on God, but yet when we get over to the New Testament and we get to the book of Revelations, and we get to the Laodicean church age, and we see the exact same thing. You know, it's just the depravity of man. I mean, we're sinful creatures. And as long as we're in these fleshly bodies, and even though we're saved by the grace of God, we're still sinners, sinners saved by grace, amen? But as long as we're in these bodies, we're going to have a tendency to follow and do the things that's natural for the sin, for that sin curse that we're living in. So even though we're born-again believers, and even though we try our best to adhere to the Word of God, it's so easy for us to slip into something we shouldn't be into. And it's easy for us to let our minds get into a place where they ought not be. And I say that because when we get back over to the Revelations, because we're going back there again this morning, but when we get there and we go through that a little bit, we're going to see the Laodicean church age, and you'll be able to see the mindset of the people at that time, and that's where we're at. We're living in the Laodicean church age. Now, with that in mind, we keep in mind that we don't have to be a Laodicean church. We have something to do about that. We can change that. We do not have to be a Laodicean church, but we do have to live in the Laodicean church age. That's where we're at. We can't change that. But we can change who we are as a Christian and as an individual to God. But we have to get our mind right. We have to get our minds and our hearts lined up with what God has for us. And, I mean, today we see people go through the motions in churches where they're claiming to serve God. But we need to understand, if you're not serving the God, then you're not serving God. You're serving a God, little g God. And that's what happened here in the book of Jeremiah. Now, keep in mind that Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. You know, Jeremiah could see through the people. He saw what was going on, and it just broke his heart. Because he could see how people was pushing God aside. They was throwing him away. And that just ripped his heart out, because he understood what was going on. Well, you understand today it's the same way. I mean, you turn your television on, you turn your radio on, anything, any part that you want to go to any church you want to go to today, and you're seeing God being cast aside. Right. And when we get through the book, back to the Revelation, we're going to see that. We're going to see where God has been cast out of the church. And what I want to say to you today, it's important that you and I understand that, because we're part of that problem. We're living today in the Laodicean church age. We're here in church this morning. But are we here for God? Are we here for the right reasons? Are we here serving for the right reasons? Or are we here just to going through the motions? And see, it's very easy to get caught up in that. And that's why this here, it just burdens my heart, because I see how easily we become trapped in this. I see good Christian people. People that I know without a doubt love the Lord. And yet with their lives, they're not serving him. Now, they're going through the motions. And let me give you an example. They may be a pastor. They may be pastoring the church. And they might as well be lost as a goose egg, because they're not pastoring according to God's will. They're not pastoring according to the doctrines that's in this book. They're pastoring according to what the people want. That's not how you pastor a church. You know, and as a people, that's not the way we're supposed to govern our pastor. Our pastor is supposed to be he's the head. He's the head honcho. He calls the shots. And deacons go along with that, and the church goes along with the deacons. As long as everything's being done biblically and correctly according to scriptures, that's what we're supposed to be doing. But I'm seeing people today, I've seen teachers, preachers, just regular church members, deacons, you name it, right on across the board. And you see people whose lives are in total turmoil. I mean, their families are, you would think that they're lost. Their children are going through the same thing that every child in the world is going through. Why is that? It's because we as Christians, even though we're going through the motions, we don't have everything in order in our homes the way it ought to be. You know, I can't just tell a child, don't do what I do what I say do. That doesn't work. We have to lead by example. And when we do that, we can't be one way today and another way tomorrow. I can't tell you that you shouldn't be listening to that kind of music. It doesn't matter whether it's rock and roll or rap or country, whatever it may be. I can't tell you that you ought not be listening to that, that you ought to be listening to 90.3, a good gospel station. And then every time you come over to my house, I got rock and roll playing. I mean, your children see that. They're not brain dead. They may act like it, but they're not. They're like little sponges. They suck up. They don't miss anything. Trust me. You take a teenager today, say 13 to, we're going to say 13 to 25, because that's the age group that they know everything. I remember telling my boys when they was about probably 16, I told both of them, I said, you really ought to move out now. While you still know everything, go out there and tackle the world, get ahead of it, get a hold to it while you still know all of it, because it's not going to be long and you're going to find out that you don't, you know. So that was my advice to them. Neither one of them wanted to leave, but I eventually kicked them out. You know, they got to go. I didn't kick them out, but they left soon enough. Anyhow, with that being said, open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 2. We talked a little bit last week about the priest and the preachers and how they were not seeking after God. And this is where it starts, folks. It starts with one pastor or one priest or one individual seeking after things that's not of God. And that's what we went over here last week. I want to go to verse 11. And I know we went over this last week, but I kind of wanted to touch on it again. Verse 11, it says, hath a nation changed their gods? Now, I want you to notice that is a little g. That's a little g. False gods. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? In other words, they're nothing. But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Do you understand what God just told us right there? He's talking about the heathen nations. They're standing fast in what they believe, as wrong as it is, as wicked as it is, as evil as it is, they're holding strong to it. They're not changing. They've got a hold to it, and they're not letting go. Then he says, yet my people, God's people, has changed their glory. Think about that. What he's telling us, we have given up the Lord Jesus. The heathen nation has absolutely nothing and won't let go. We have everything in the Lord Jesus. We have everything. We have eternal life, everlasting life. Everything we could ever possibly need or want, we can find in the Lord Jesus. And yet, we're giving it up. We're throwing it away, trading it for little g God. And just think about that. That's what we're doing today. They did it in Jeremiah's day. And we're doing the same thing today in the Laodicean church age. We're trading God, living waters. We're trading eternal life for something that does not profit. We're trading the God for little g God. Folks, we need to let that sink in. I mean, that's big. That's mighty. I can't even grasp that. But if you look at our lives today, we're doing that. I mean, look at this COVID thing. It's got people scared to death. What are you scared of? I'm going to tell you right now, they're not scaring me with heaven.
Amen. Amen.
You know, people say, you don't wear a mask. No, I don't wear a mask. I don't intend to wear one. Well, what if you get COVID? What if I get COVID? If the Lord wants me to go home, I'm going home with or without COVID, I promise you. You know, we all have an appointed day and an appointed time. And when that time comes, you're out of here. Mask is not going to help you one bit. And I promise you're not going to leave a day early. You're going to leave on your appointed day. That's when you're going to leave. Now, am I telling you not to wear it? Look, if you have medical problems, if you're sick, and you think a mask will help you, wear it. You know, I feel like this. I'm not going to walk out in 27, step out in front of a semi truck. Okay? Well, it's not my day to go. Well, it might not be, but I'm still not going to step out in front of a semi truck. Okay? Because it's going to be a really bad day, at the very least, correct? Well, it's the same way with COVID. I mean, you know, is it real? Yeah, it's real. You know, it's like any other flu bug or cold or anything else, it could kill you. You know, you could walk out the door here, fall down the step, break your neck, and die right there. You know, I'm not going to let it destroy my life. I'm not going to let it run and govern the way I live. I'm going to keep on serving my God the way I've always served him. And that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. But if you look at society today, the COVID, what has the COVID done? It separated families. It separated people from who? Their God. Folks, there's a lot of ways that the devil gets into our lives to separate us from God. We allow enough of it on our own, just in our plain, simple ignorance that we have. We separate ourselves enough from God like that. We don't need to allow something like this to separate us from God. This should be an outcry across the nation. People should be demanding that the churches be open. You know, it really bothers me that they're going to shut a church down in California and the people on the East Coast aren't hollering. It should be an uproar. I mean, after all, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. It's, you know, we're all God's children. We're all in his house this morning. So there should be an uproar about that. There should be a cry across the land, but it's silence. When we hear about the babies being aborted, we got an election coming up. And according to the news media, which I don't believe a word of it, I think they're liars, and I don't think Biden has a chance, to be honest with you. I think I got as good a chance of winning as he does, and I'm not on the ticket, I don't think. You know? But the news media is going to make it sound like he's winning, no matter what. But let's just say that he did. Can you imagine all the people that's voting for somebody who's willing to kill babies? You won't believe the amount of Christian people, because I know a couple so-called Christian people. I personally don't believe you can be Christian and vote for Biden. I just don't believe it.
Amen.
You know, I'm sorry, but you know, I'm not going to vote for somebody who wants to kill the children.
Amen.
And that's exactly what they want to do. And folks, we're in a bad way right now. I forgot where I was going with that. It'll come back to me. Had a Biden moment. That's what happens when you say something about Biden. It just contagious, amen? Biden moment or a senior moment, whichever. Anyhow, let's get back to the scripture. Go to verse 13. He says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountains of living waters, and have hewed them cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Folks, we're trading in the God, eternal life, fountain of living waters, for a false God that can do nothing for you. You're going to die of thirst. Folks, that's exactly where we're at today in our nation. That's what I see when I look out across America. The greatest nation in the world. Think about something. We're just a little over 200 years old. You know, we're babies in the world. You understand that? I mean, how old is Israel? How old is all those countries in the Middle East? I mean, folks, we're just a baby, and yet we was the greatest nation in the world, and we're willing to throw that away. See, I don't understand the mindset of the people, but we're willing to throw that away. And this is what we'll say, and I'm guilty of it just like you. Well, those people somehow, some way, are related to these people. You know, we need to think about that. You know, these are our grandchildren. These are our children, our cousins, nephews, nieces, uncles. I mean, if we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, it started with two, right? Eve is the mother of all living. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? So somehow, somewhere, these people are our relations. So it's our responsibility to do what? Teach them about Jesus. It's our responsibility to get the gospel out. And I'm telling you, folks, as parents right here in America, we have failed. You know, when we allowed God to be taken out of our schools, where was the cry across the land? Where was the church? Why did the church not holler and put a stop to it right there? And then we wonder why the church was considered to be non-essential. Because we're not acting as Christians. I mean, I go back through my Bible and I read through the Old Testament and I see where Joshua and Moses went into the Promised Land. They went in fighting. We don't have to roll over for every little thing that comes by. You know, the Bible doesn't teach us that. The Bible teaches us to fight and contend for the truth. We're supposed to contend for this word. And today we lay down at every chance we get. We're not standing up and fighting for the truth. And sadly, most churches today don't even know the truth. Let's go to the book of Revelations. We're going to go back to chapter 3. We was talking about the Laodicean church age. We was talking about a little bit about the Laodicean church and where it came from, how it got here. You understand that the Laodicean church is the last church age. Preachers taught this time and time again. He's taught Revelations many, many times. But we need to understand that when we get here to where we're at today, we're made up of all seven church ages. We're not just Laodicean church age today. I mean, think about it. There's still a little bit of the Philadelphian church around here. I feel like there's a whole lot of it right here in this church. We're still on fire for God. We're still trying to win souls. We're still trying to reach children. You know, we're doing all the things that we're supposed to be doing. So when I'm talking to you this morning, I understand that I'm preaching to the choir, but we still need to keep in our minds, if not, we'll be just like they were in Jeremiah, or we'll be just like they are in the Laodicean church age. We'll be part of it if we're not careful. If we don't stay on our toes and keep into the word of God and keep God in the front, then we'll end up just like them. I see it every day. I see parents that allow their children to do things. I'll tell you what, one of my boys one time, of course, he was messing with me, and it wasn't safe for him. But he told me, that, "Daddy, I'm thinking about getting an earring." I said, "You go ahead. I promise you, it's going to be painful." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, when you walk in the door, I'm snatching it out." I said, "So it's not going to feel good." I said, "But you're welcome to get one." And right today, he's 40-something years old. If he walks in my door with an earring, it's coming out. I'll snatch it right out of the side of his head. He's still my son. You know, he knows my stand. So if he wants to put an earring in or put one in his nose like a pig, have at it. But when I see him, it's coming out. But that's where we're at today. I see Christian children today. You look at them, you're like, what is that? I mean, they got stuff sticking out of them everywhere. I'm like, come on, that's what the world does. But where's the Christian parent? Now, this is what's happening, folks. Let me tell you something. My boys, if they'd have done that, I kid you not, you ask their mama, I'd have told them, pack your stuff and hit the road. If you live in my house, you're going to live by my rules, no exception. Amen. It's not open for debate. It's not going to be an argument. It's either you live by my rules or don't let the doorknob hit you with a good Lord split you. Because that's the way it's going to be. That's not happening today. Today, what are we seeing today? We're seeing the children run the household. But see, I don't want my child to run off and get into worse trouble. They're not going to get into worse trouble. They're already in the middle of it. You know, all of that stuff leads to a certain place, doesn't it? Every bit of it. And if their lifestyle, they're already there. What are you trying to protect them from now? They're already in the middle of it. The only thing they're seeing is, they're seeing that your Christianity, that your life is a lie. That's what they're seeing. No matter who you are, I don't care if you're a preacher, a teacher, if you're just an individual, whoever you are, if you're living that life, you're living a lie. Amen. That's what your children see in you. Because if it was real to you, you'll fight for it. If it's real to you, you'll take a stand for it. But when you're just going through the motions, it's just part of your everyday life, then it doesn't mean anything to you in reality. That's the way your children see it. Whether that's true or not, whether it's right or wrong, that's what your children see. So to them, it's not real. It's not real to dad, or it's not real to mom. You know, it's not real. Why? Because you don't stand on it. And don't think that your children won't try you. I mean, my boy come home one time and told me he was going to get a tattoo. I told him, go ahead. He didn't get it. But folks, he was trying me. He was trying to see what I was going to say. He was trying to see where I was going to stand, what I was going to do about it. You've had people, I don't know, I knew at one time or another, you probably had somebody pull up in your yard playing that, whatever, I don't even know what to call the stuff. They call it music, but it's not music. It's noise. And it literally drives me nuts. I can't stand it. But I've had people come over to visit, and they got that radio going. And I tell them, do you like your car? Yeah. Do you like your radio system? Yeah. You want to keep it? Yeah. Cut it off. Or it's gone. I'll go in the house, get a shotgun, and blow it out the dash. I'm not going to listen to it. You're on my property. You're at my house. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. I'm not gonna deal with it. I'm not gonna hear it. I'm not gonna listen to it. If they want to listen to it, knock yourself out, but don't do it at my house. Folks, that's where we gotta be as Christians. We gotta take a stand on what we believe in. We can't say that we believe in it, but our actions show something different. Now, which speaks the loudest, words or actions? See, you can say anything. I've seen Joe Biden get up and say all kinds of stuff, but none of it's true. You know, it's just words, it's just lips moving. Somebody asked me one time, how can you tell if a Democrat's lying? Their lips are moving, amen. I mean, come on, folks. But that's where we're at in our lives. If it's not real to us and we don't live according to what we say, then we're teaching our children that it's a lie. Because that's the way they're going to perceive it. And then we can't figure out why our children are out throwing bricks through windows. We can't figure out why they're out burning buildings. And just like the preachers all the time talking about sending your kids off to a fancy college. Children leave here. They can leave right here out of this church. And I'm sorry, but you're not going to get any better preaching than what comes out of that pulpit right there. Amen. You can go anywhere in the world you want to go. And it's not going to get any better than what Dr. Carter teaches and preaches. It just can't get any better. But kids can leave right here and go to one of those fancy colleges and they get messed up in the mind. That's how easy it is for us to get off track. That's why it's so important that we adhere to the Word of God. It's so important that we understand what it's telling us. And we stopped at verse 16 last week. We was talking about the churches being hot and cold, lukewarm is what the Laodicean church age is. And we talked about how God said he's going to spew them out of his mouth. It makes him sick to his stomach, what the preacher always says. Well, that's the age that we live in. But look at verse 17. This is why it makes him sick. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, you understand what he just said right there? Because thou sayest, in other words, you and I, we say, not God, but we say that we are rich and increased with goods. Folks, I want you to look at America today. Now, I know we're putting boxes out, okay? I know we're putting boxes out to take up goods, you know, non-perishables or perishables, whichever one you want to put in there, non-perishables, to give to needy people. But folks, think about something. We're in America. The poor live better today than rich people used to. That's the truth. There are no real poor people today unless they put themselves there. And I'm talking about people who are poor simply. I'm talking about, you know, goods, earthly goods, worldly goods. They're poor because they choose to drink it up or shoot it up in their arm or whatever. But we have food stamps today. We have welfare programs. People aren't starving. I mean, I can take you through the neighborhoods. I'm all over Polk County. I can take you through neighborhoods. Most of these poor people today live in a better home than I do. That's the truth. I mean, they're living in $200,000 to $500,000 homes. Don't even have a job. And the ones that do work at Walmart 3 hours a week. These are our poor people. So that's what this is speaking of right here. I am rich and have need of nothing. That's the mindset that the people have today. I can remember back when I was growing up, families prayed a lot more than they do today. See, when the groceries got thin, they didn't go down and stand in a line and hold their hand out like this. You know what they did? They prayed. God, the baby needs milk. That's what we used to do. Remember when the shoes kind of got thin and people put paper cardboard down in the shoes? My dad used to take his socks and he'd take ink pen. He had a blue pair of socks and he'd take an ink pen and color his legs so you couldn't see the holes in the socks. That's the way it used to be. And people prayed. And now today, they just go to Uncle Sam and get another pair of socks. So that's where we're at today. And this is what God is telling us. This is where we see ourselves. Hey, look, I don't need anything. So people aren't praying today. They're not seeking after God today the way we used to. You know, they're not worried about it. Everything's taken care of. You know, people are voting for Biden this week, praying that COVID comes back. Man, please put your mask on. You understand that's why they don't want to get rid of the mask, right? It's a reminder in your mind. It's a reminder that COVID's here. That's all it is. These people are praying because they want another check. That's the God's honest truth. They want another check, another stimulus check. There's a lot of the businesses that want more money. Have you noticed during this shutdown, a lot of the businesses remodeled and repaved their parking lots and all? Thank you. You paid for it. Or you're going to. But that's where all of that money came from. COVID. I got a phone call this week. Matter of fact, I had three of them this week. Asking if I had any credit card debt. Because if I did, they would eliminate them for me. Because of COVID. And I'm like, no, but if you give me 20 minutes, I'll have it. You know, I can hunt my wife up and send her to the store. And then we can get rid of the credit card debt, right? Can you believe that, folks? But that's where we're at today. We're rich. We're in need of nothing. We don't need anything. He goes on to say, I have need of nothing, but thou knowest not that thou art wretched. You understand, if you was to look up the term or the word wretched, you understand basically in order to be pictured as wretched. Now, this is the way God sees us. See, the rich people, that's the way we see ourselves. Wretched is the way God sees us. You understand that wretched would be kind of like, let's put it like this. If you were to work in a quarry all day as a slave, and you've been making little rocks out of big ones all day long, at the end of the day, you'd be pretty wretched. Kind of wore out and fragile. That's kind of the way that's the way he sees us here. He sees us as wretched and miserable. We're miserable. I wonder why we're miserable. We have everything, but yet God says we're miserable. That means we're not happy. Do you see that in the world today? You can give a man $100 million, and he'll be in worse shape than he was before you give it to him. Because now he's got $100 million, he's trying to figure out how to get two. How can I get $200 million? You know, what are we going to do with it? I don't know, but we want more. That's the way we are. And then he goes on to say, and poor. Yeah, we're poor. We got worldly things. We got earthly goods. We got money in the bank. We don't need a thing. And we're dirt poor because we don't have Jesus in our lives. And if you're born again and you're a saved believer, you might think you're rich with goods. But when you're not living the life for Christ and you don't have Jesus in the front where you ought to be, then you're poor in God's eyes. You go on here and it says, and you're blind and naked. We're blind. Well, how about we go back to the Old Testament? We go back to Jeremiah. Were those people blind? Sure they were. They couldn't see. They couldn't see the forest for the trees. It's the same way today. We're blind. Churches today are blind. Folks, when you put a homosexual in the pulpit, you're blind. When you put women in the pulpit, you're blind. We're spiritually blind. And then it's talking about we're naked. Well, when you're lost, you're naked. You don't have that robe of pure white. You're naked. You're in your sin. That's what he's talking about. Now, we got to keep in mind that this is to the churches. God's talking to the churches here. This is the letter to the Laodicean church age. That's where we're at today. He goes on to say, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire. Hey, our God's been proven. Our Jesus was crucified. Our Jesus went to the depths of hell and defeated Satan, didn't he? He's been tried. That thou mayest be rich. Folks, that's where the riches of the world is. That's where all the riches are, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. No, when you got the white robe of righteousness on that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us, our sin is covered. You know, as long as we're stuck in these old sin-cursed bodies, we're sinners. But God don't see my sin. I'm covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got that white robe on. I'm not naked. Listen to what he says in verse 20. We're about out of time. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Folks, we have thrown God not only out of our homes, not only out of our schools, but out of our churches. But he's still pleading with us, just like he did over in Jeremiah. He's still pleading with us today. And folks, we don't have to be this Laodicean church that we're reading about. We can be the Philadelphian church in the Laodicean church age. But we have to make sure that we're adhering to the Word of God. Not just reading it, not just quoting it, not just going through the motions, but we've got to live it in our lives. And when I say that, it comes to mind. Who's that we got on our radio every day preaching? Lester Roloff. You know, a lot of people think, oh, Lester, he's a little bit extreme. Now, let me tell you something. Lester Roloff's right on. Amen. Lester Roloff is where we ought to be. That's the truth. And we don't want to see that. Why? Because it's burdensome. See, it's hard to live a righteous life. It's hard to be right in Christ. You know, it's easy to be saved. It's no problem to be saved. All we got to do is ask Jesus to save us. But to live that Christian life, it's hard. It's not easy. It's a lot of work. Just to present yourself daily as a Christian is work. It's a lot of work. But nowhere in the Bible does it say it's going to be easy, does it? How easy do you think it was for Jesus on the cross? But he did it. He did it because he loved us. And that's the way we ought to be for him. Because we love him, we ought to be living a life for him. And our children should see Jesus in us. And our grandchildren should see Jesus in us. And our great-grandchildren should see Jesus in us. It's still important, no matter how old we are, that we still set that example for our children and our great-grandchildren or our great-great-grandchildren. Folks, the world's in trouble. And the only one that's going to help it is Jesus. And we're the only ones that can get that message to the world. It all depends on us. That's why I wanted to go through these two books again this morning. I just feel like it's so important that we understand where we're at and how easy it is for Satan to get a hold to our lives. All right, well, we're out of time. What's the Sunday school count, my brother?